Recital Publishing presents The 11th Commandment, written by Rhys Hughes, read by Tom Newton. This book is dedicated to Maitreyi Karnur. Part 1. The Zodiacal Light. The zodiacal light is very faint, and so are we, from hunger, a hunger for the stars we can never reach. Yes, it is faint, and so are our hopes. But that doesn't matter if we enjoy the standing and reaching, on the shoulders of our friends, on a ladder, on chairs piled on chairs. We are nearer the stars that way. The zodiacal light is a cone of glow that extends from the horizon and along the constellations of astrology. It is a false dawn, but any dawn is better than none. Aries. I had never taken astrology seriously, and in many ways I still don't. But Octavia was good at changing the minds of men. She dressed in a very anachronistic way, but the eyes that saw her soon came to believe that modernity is overrated. She insisted that the stars really did influence our fates. They also control what happens to inanimate objects. "Don't be absurd," I protested. She swished the hem of her toga and smirked. "What zodiac sign are computers?" I shrugged at the question. "Aries, of course, the ram." As if this was enough. "I don't believe you." Later, we went for a walk in the park. It was a spring day and the sunlight pushed through the branches of the trees like honey. I bathed in the glow, but Octavia pulled my sleeve and soon we were running towards the lake. She wanted to hire a boat and row across to the other side. So I said, "What will you be doing while I work the oars?" "Playing music," she replied. I frowned at this because she had brought no instruments with her. We selected a rowing boat and clambered inside. The attendant cast off a rope. I pulled on the oars and we glided towards the center of the lake. A mist rose unexpectedly from the cool waters, and it was so thick I could see nothing, not even Octavia, who sat facing me on the wooden bench. I kept rowing. The mist cleared, and now I saw that she had a large drum between her knees and two thick drumsticks to beat it with. At the same time, I felt a coldness around my ankles. I was shackled to my bench. My chains rattled as I tugged at them. "Don't stop," she said. Then she began to beat the drum with powerful strokes. An instinct compelled me to take up the oars again and resume rowing. I rowed in time to her rhythm. Ahead of us, another boat came into view, an easy target. Octavia increased the tempo of her playing. Her toga slipped from her shoulders, and I could almost taste her bare olive skin. Her perspiration glittered like jewels on her forehead and on her full lips, each droplet containing a tiny rainbow. I strained to pull the oars as hard as I possibly could. "Ramming speed." "Ah, that ram again. So boats at war were also born under the sign of Aries. That made a certain amount of sense. I saw that the enemy boat contained a businessman who was operating a laptop computer. He was being rowed by a man in the uniform of a chauffeur. We would sink them both. It was early afternoon, and the Empire was thriving. Beneath our boat, I was aware of sunken vessels and broken computers, and also the bones of other men, all entangled with weeds and kissed by fish. What sign are fish born under? I didn't need to ask. The bones poked through holes in rotten wool cardigans, and that was the important thing. Woolen clothes dyed a softly glowing golden color in the vats of my nostalgia.